to the book of Acts in Acts chapter 24, and we'll be reading verse 22 to 27. But Felix, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, put them off, saying, "When Lysias the tribune comes down, I will decide your case." Then he gave orders to the centurion that he should be kept in custody, but have liberty, and that none of his friends should be prevented from attending to his needs. After some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, "Go away for the present. When I get opportunity, I will summon him." At the same time, he hoped that money would be given him by Paul. He sent for him often and conversed with him. When 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Pontius Festus, and desiring to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you speak to us through your word and help us to put in practice whatever we hear from your word. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm preaching under the title, "Is Your Response to the Gospel a Genuine One?" When people are exposed to the preaching of the gospel, there are those who respond to it in an appropriate and a genuine way by repenting and putting their trust in Christ. But on the other hand, there are those to whom the gospel seems to have had an impact, but on a closer examination, it shows that their response was not a genuine one. Could it be that you are among this category of people? In the light of this passage, we'll consider three questions. First one, do you only have an intellectual knowledge of the Christian teachings? Or you have heart knowledge as well? Again, we just, do you fear the consequences of sin, but have not repented of sin? Or is there an evidence of a changed life after you were exposed to the gospel? Or you are still living in sin? First then, let's consider the first question. Do you have only an intellectual knowledge of the gospel or the Christian teachings, or you have heart knowledge as well? Last Sunday we saw that Paul, before Governor Felix, gave a bold defense of his character and faith. After he was misrepresented by the Jews. Through their hired lawyer. So the Jews must have thought that the governor would judge Paul as guilty,
faida ya mambo utasigamana na yameenda ukawa Paulo kibali kusinge
and maybe pronounce a judgment and maybe sentence him to death. Because that seems to be their aim. But we see that God continues to protect his servant through the appointed authorities. That's why it was not a case that Paul was sentenced to death. But rather, as we see in verse 22, where we read that, but Felix, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, put them off, saying, when Lysias the tribune comes down, I'll decide your case. Felix had been governor of Judea for some years now. And because of that, he had come to know something about the Christian faith, which enabled him to see that the charges against Paul were false charges. Because remember, he was living in Caesarea, where Cornelius the centurion had become a Christian. So surely he must have been exposed to the teachings of the Christian faith. So that he was able to know that it was not a cult or a heretical group as the Jews were saying. And also to be able to know that Paul was not as bad as the Jews were saying he was. That's why he was able to adjourn the case. But although he had this accurate knowledge about the Christian faith, this accurate knowledge was just a mere head knowledge. It had not penetrated to his heart to change him. That's why he just adjourned the case, did not dismiss it, and set Paul free. Because if he had been affected by these teachings of the Christian faith, he would have seen that Paul is free to go, to be at liberty, because he had committed nothing wrong to be judged. But an accurate knowledge of the Christian faith was not helpful to him at all, because he was still in his sins. And this is the case of so many people even today. They know the Christian faith. They know the truth about the Christian faith. Some of them will claim that even they know the Bible better than you. Because some of them have just studied it as an academic discipline. And maybe when you ask them what the gospel is, they may even be able to tell you that the gospel is this and that. But yet these truths have not gone down and affected their hearts. And I'm sure that's the condition of some of you who are seated here today. You have heard the gospel again and again. You have been exposed to the Christian teachings again and again. But it's just an accumulation of facts into your head. Your heart has not been affected. Some of you have grown in Christian families where you have again and again been exposed to the truths of Christianity. But still they have not affected your heart. It's just a head knowledge but not heart knowledge. And that heart, that head knowledge will not help you, my friend, will not take you to heaven. It may have even made you to think that you're a Christian because you know so much about Christianity. But that's a deception. You're deceiving yourself to think that way. A head knowledge will not help you in any way. It is not beneficial until these things which you have in your head sink down into your heart and transform your heart. As I've said, if Governor Felix had a hard knowledge of the Christian teachings, he would have dismissed the case and Paul would have gone free. But rather because of the mere head knowledge, we see that he makes a sense and says, when Lysias the tribune comes down, I'll decide your case, which did not even happen. And probably this was just because of the fear of the Jews. Probably fear that if we let Paul go free, the Jews would demonstrate and there would be disturbance of peace. That's why he said, let him remain in custody, as we see here. But it's so sad that some of you have an intellectual knowledge and a correct one about the character of God. About the salvation which was accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. And of the benefits of that salvation. But your conduct shows that those truths have not affected your heart at all. All that you would seek, that those truths will be applied to your heart, so there will be a change and transformation of your life. Because if you remain with that mere head knowledge, to be terrible for you, because on the last day the Lord Jesus Christ will tell you to depart from him, because you say he never knew you, although you thought you knew him. But on the other hand, those of you who have been transformed by this message of Christianity, you are also behaving like these non-Christians by just accumulating your head with mere head knowledge. But in a firm faith, there's a lot of efforts to ensure that the believers know the teachings of the Bible so well. And that's a very good effort indeed. But the problem with you is that you allow those teachings to just be facts in your head and are not affecting your lifestyle. I personally don't understand it when I hear that someone's prayer life or Bible study went down because they came to be reformed. I think the reverse should have been the case. This from truth, far from killing your zeal, should even make you zealous more
and more.
Because in the form faith, for example, you learn that you need God. You are terribly sinful, and without the help of God, you cannot do anything on your own. And knowing that should motivate you to seek Him more and more in prayer and Bible study. And so if you lost your zeal after coming to Reformed faith, the problem is not the Reformed faith, it is you. It's because you concentrated on gaining head knowledge which did not go down to your heart and affect your character and zeal. Because if this truth would have affected your heart, you would have been more zealous than even you were previously. Moreover, now this zeal with knowledge, not the zeal without knowledge. But check yourself. Is this truth which you're learning and gaining making you to be more humble, or is it puffing you up? If it is not humbling you, then it is possible that it's just mere head knowledge. Because surely when you learn about things like the sovereignty of God, the providence of God, the election and choosing of His people, such truths are meant to humble you. And even increase your zeal in the service for God. Oh friends, then ensure that these truths which you learn are affecting your heart and are changing your character and are making you more zealous. But spiritual growth is actually described as a growth in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe this kind of knowledge is experimental knowledge. It is heart knowledge and not mere head knowledge. And I believe this is what Paul says, especially in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, when he writes and says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and I may share the fellowship of His sufferings. And becoming more like Him in His death. Surely this is a practical knowledge. This is a heart's knowledge which Paul was seeking. May this be your desire, friends, daily, that you seek to know Christ more and more, and that this knowledge affects your character. So that you will be conformed more and more to His image. But secondly, do you fear the consequences of sin but have not repented of it? Because in verse 24, this is what we read. After some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Jesus. It is possible that it was Felix's wife Drusilla who, out of curiosity, wanted to hear Paul speak to them, especially concerning Christianity, since she was Jewish. But I don't think they came with the intention of hearing Paul preach the gospel of salvation to them. But Paul took that as an opportunity to proclaim to them the gospel of salvation. Because I believe this is what this phrase means here, but heard him speak about faith in Jesus Christ. Well, the emphasis must have been on telling them that they will be saved by faith and faith alone, not their own works. But I believe that Paul took time to explain to them the gospel, telling them that Jesus Christ had obeyed the law of God perfectly, and had gone to the cross of Calvary to suffer as a substitute in the place of the sinner. And Father, that He rose again on the third day for our justification. Having told them that, I'm sure He went ahead to tell them that they are now required to repent and put their trust in Christ. For them to be forgiven and be counted as righteous before God. Paul never missed opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Here he was in prison, but he used the opportunity which God brought before him to proclaim the gospel to these sinners. How many opportunities of evangelism do you have and you just waste them? Paul did not fear even the governor or his wife. Maybe to think that if I preach them the gospel, they will leave me in prison for long, or they will hand me over to the Jews. He did not let the opportunity pass away in speaking about other matters. But that's what you do daily. Many times you fear to proclaim the gospel, or you allow opportunities to pass in speaking about other worldly matters which do not matter. Oh, may you copy Paul's example, that you proclaim the gospel no matter what circumstance you are in. And after proclaiming the gospel to them, This Paul being aware of their conduct, especially the conduct of Felix, he goes ahead to discuss with them this important subjects, as we see in verse 25. He reasoned with them about righteousness, self-control, and the coming judgment. Very, very important subjects. And as I told you last Sunday, say that Felix, as the governor, his reign was marked with cruelty, oppression, and covetousness and lust of all kinds. It is said that he had even seduced this wife of his from her former husband. Because he has admired her beauty. So I think Paul here, what he was doing was showing these two sinners the standard of God's righteousness, that it is so high that they cannot be able to attain it. And showing that even their lifestyle was falling below the standard of God's righteousness. But he also reasoned to them about self-control, I think showing them that self-control is a very important mark of a life lived in honor of God. And yet there was no evidence of self-righteousness, of self-control in the life of Felix. But I think what made Felix especially frightened and alarmed was when Paul talked about the final judgment. Telling them that this is the fate, this is what's coming upon them if they remain in their lifestyle. And this is true of all of you who are still in your sins and ignoring the gospel again and again. Are you just getting frightened like Felix did here, but ignored and remained in his sin? But also, I don't think Paul was preaching morality, or he ever preached morality at all. Many people, many of you think you are preaching the gospel, and yet you go along preaching morality. Here we see Paul first presenting the gospel before giving warnings about them remaining in their sin. But today you hear people go along just saying, stop smoking, stop doing that and do this. Stop dressing modestly and dress well. Without presenting Christ and Him crucified to their hearers. If you do that, you will not be helping these people at all. Morality does not save, it is the gospel and the gospel alone which saves. People can be morally upright, but that will not take them to heaven. They need the gospel, which you should proclaim to them again and again, like Paul did. So Felix here feared just the consequences of sin and not sin itself. Because he did not repent and turn from it. Sadly, it's the condition of so many who are exposed to the gospel even today. They fear the coming judgment, they fear hell.
But
they don't fear the sin itself. There are even people who shed tears when they are sitting under the preaching of the gospel. And you may think they are repenting and turning away from it. And yet you see them enjoying their sin, still swimming in sin. That's terrible for you if that's what you're doing. But Felix's case here was very different from the Philippian jailer. Whom we read of in Acts chapter 16. He also feared and trembled. But for him, he went ahead to go to Paul and Silas and say, "Brethren, what should I do to be saved?" He did not do like Felix, who just told Paul, "Go away for the present." He said, "What must I do to be saved?" Oh, that may be the question you are asking, you who are still in your sins. For see the answer which the Apostle Paul and Silas gave him: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you be saved." Are you in the same category with Felix or in the same category with this Philippian jailer? Who fears the coming judgment but remain in their sin? Some people even fake repentance just to deceive other people. Remember, you're not deceiving God, you're deceiving yourself. You may be deceiving people, but before God, you cannot deceive Him. That's why the preachers who call people to repeat the sinner's prayer and afterwards tell them that they are saved, they are doing so much harm today. There are so many people who are filled with false assurance of salvation. Because they went forward and repeated the prayer, and the preacher told them that you are now saved. Yet there is no sign of repentance, there is no sign of a change and changing life in them at all. But of course, true repentance is accompanied by a fear of judgment many times. But it does not end there. True repentance further involves the sorrow over sin, the hatred of the sin. A confession of sin and ultimately turning away from the sin. So as to seek a life which is pleasing in God's sight. Felix was just alarmed that he did not go forward to confess or turn away from the sin. Oh, may you who are in your sins, by God's grace, go ahead to ask, what must I do to be saved? And not just continue in your sin, like Felix did here. So last week, the last question is there any evidence of a changed life? After being exposed to the gospel, or you're still living in sin? According to verse 26 and 27, see that Felix continued in a sinful life even after being exposed to the gospel. And what shows first in verse 26 is this, that he went ahead to call Paul again and again so that he would meet him with the intention of not hearing the gospel often. But because he wanted a bribe from Paul. This reminds me of our dear pastor, how many times he frequented the Minister of Internal Affairs before he got his passport. And because these people desired to get a bribe for him, that's why they kept on telling him, come back this day, come back this day. We thank God that he allowed that to happen, so that a pastor would be a very good example to all of us. How he went so many times that he refused that I will not give these people any pride. Oh, may you follow that example. May all of us follow that example, refusing to give a bribe no matter what circumstance. And this is what Paul did also many times. Felix called him, but there's no sign that Paul ever gave him a bribe. But you see that bribery has not started now, even those days it was there. But I find it interesting, especially about this Minister of Internal Affairs here in Uganda, I hear the president claim that he appointed the people who head that ministry are all Christians. He claims he appointed Christians to head that ministry. A ministry which is probably the leading in bribery and corruption to be led by Christians, one claims that is led by Christians, surely? I don't believe so. I don't believe that such people are Christians. But this is what Felix expected. It was not his intention that he hears the gospel from Paul again and again. And this was a sign that he continued in his sin of lust and covetousness after he was exposed to the gospel. And probably because he had in Paul's defense that he had gone to Jerusalem to give material support to the Christians there, that's why he thought that Paul must be a rich man, or probably he would get support from his friends and be able to give him a bribe.
Sana ya ona Paulo ni muga na wai ni ya mpango ya mugaza ya suli ya Paulo ya mwa kusimu.
But also what shows that he continued in his sin in verse 27, he leaves Paul in prison let me just read here. In verse 27, this is what we read. When 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and desiring to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. So it was to please the Jews that he decided to leave the Apostle Paul in prison. Because he knew that the Jews would be very happy to know that their enemy was still in prison. But it is said that the reason why Felix was stopped from being a governor in Judea was because of the complaints which the Jews made against him to the emperor. Because of his cruel and oppression and evil lifestyle. So it seems that's why he decided to leave Paul in prison, so that they will at least say he's a good person because he's on our side against Paul. But surely this was an evidence that Felix had not been transformed by the power of the gospel he had heard. And many of you here are still continuing in your sinful lifestyle even after being exposed to the gospel again and again, just the way Felix did here. You know that you're accumulating wrath upon wrath on the day of judgment, and it will be terrible for you. Unless you turn away from your sins and put your trust in the gospel, you wish that you should not even have had it. But there's a category of people who seem to have been transformed by the gospel and live as if they are Christians for some time. But then return to their former life. That's the way a pig is after it's been washed, it remains clean for some time, but after shortly it goes back into the dirt and becomes very dirty again. Because people who behave like that, it obviously shows that they were not Christians to start with. But that shows the importance of self-examination. It's important for you to examine yourself. To be sure that you have been transformed truly by the power of the gospel. Has your character just been reformed outwardly, or there's a change inwardly which can be seen and which is the lasting one? Do you seek to please men the way Felix does here? Or seek to examine yourself to be sure that you are in the faith? Ask yourself these 3 questions. Do you have a mere head knowledge Or it is a hard knowledge which is reflected in your character. Were you just afraid of the consequences of sin, but not sin itself? And is there an evidence of a change and changing life? After you're exposed to the gospel, you are still swimming in your sin. If you fail the test, repent and believe the gospel. If you are truly saved again, seek again and again to put the remaining sin to death. Do not spare any sin. Seek holiness. Seek to be more and more like Jesus Christ. Don't take for granted these various means of grace which God has provided for you. But utilize them so that again and again you grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please be sure that you have genuinely responded to this gospel of salvation, so that you treasure it in your life, so that you live a life which will bear good testimony to this gospel. May the Lord help you that that will be the case in your life. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us and helping us to examine our lives to be sure that we have responded to the gospel in the right way. Help those who are still in their sins. Save them, O Lord. Help them to turn away and put their trust in Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen.